yours. The world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. Here on KXRW 99 Vancouver, I am Rip Rex. I am here with my partner, Brian Brooks. How are you doing, Brian?
Yo, I am great. How are you doing, bud?
Well, today's another day, another great day. And what have you been up to there, champ?
Oh, man. Well, last we talked, another title defense against those guys that call themselves Monster Nation. I would call it successful. He might call it successful. In the eyes of professional wrestling, the match was ruled a no contest because we could not follow directions and keep it in the lines of the rules. So it got thrown out. So now we will have a no count out, no disqualifications, winner take all title match on May 24th.
Remind me again the details on all that here.
That means that any outside interference is allowed.
Okay.
Any cheap and dirty tricks are allowed.
Cheap and dirty tricks.
Weapons of any kind are allowed.
It's right up their alley.
It's right up my alley, too. That's the thing. I don't think that they understand that I love to fight, and I also think weapons are badass. So I hope they know what they're getting into.
I mean, you're going to need them with monsters like that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, look, they have the numbers advantage, they have the size advantage, but I don't know if they know this. I'm just crazy. they're crazy, but I feel like I might be able to just kind of dig deeper and get it behind that locked door of like unhinged Brian Brooks that people have never seen, and I'll show it then.
Unhinged Brian Brooks that people have never seen. That's quotable. I like that.
That's
like
crazy, that. Right?
Interesting. You might sign up or bite off more than you can chew, but I would guarantee that it's going to be a hell of a show. So today we have a couple of different guests coming on. We've got a couple of different fun things going on. But what have you? I haven't prepared myself very well. What have you been up to outside of that though?
Oh, okay. Outside of that, well, in about 5-ish, 6-ish weeks from now, let's see here. Let's look at the calendar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. Just under, about 6.5. I'm getting married.
Getting married,
dude. And everything has just become like time does not exist outside of this timeline. No. When you are planning a wedding, nothing ever like comes into focus 100% other than the details of whatever is going on. I'm very excited, and I know my future wife-to-be will say and agree with me on this, but we're just going to, I think, both be glad when it's over. just because, like, planning a wedding is incredibly stressful. It's just a lot of, like, it's a lot of little details and a lot of, like, very strict commitments that you have to have in order to make things run successfully. And thank God that we kind of balance each other out in these really good ways of, like, if one person gets really stressed out, the other person's really, like, supportive of just being like, hey, it's all good. Like, it's going to be fine. And kind of vice versa. Like, and it's really funny because there are a lot of people who are helping us with this stuff. Like, I have a friend who's doing our flowers and a friend who's doing the day of coordinating and stuff. And they're like, they come and ask me all these details. And I go, Look, dude, I'm just the money guy. I don't know. I don't know. That's not, that is not my department, dude. You're talking to the wrong guy. You need, I'll transfer you. you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You ever try to pick a, you ever try to pick a flavor of cake with somebody?
Oh, absolutely not.
I've been married, but no.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. There's no partnership in that. That's just a, you smile, you nod. They all taste good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every one of them tastes great.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, you know, we're not getting like, run-of-the-mill cake. So we're getting, like, these really foofy, like, artisanal cakes that have all these, like, kind of foofy artisanal flavors. And that makes it even, like, more divided. Shape and flavors. And geez. Do you want it to say something on it? Do you not? Do you want it in? Do you want it as round? Do you want it heart shaped? Do you want, you know, this? Do you want that? I'm like, God, dude. And it's not. And that's the thing is, we're not even tasting the cake. We're just going in blind based on like whether it looks good and it sounds good to eat. I don't know, dude.
But it is one of the most important decisions you'll ever choose not to make.
Yeah, because did you know that people freeze? Like a piece of their wedding cake for like ever.
Yep. You eat it like on, I don't know what anniversary, but.
For what?
Who started
I don't know.
This? Who started this?
I don't get it.
The guy that runs Frigidaire probably set that one up.
He was also a cake. He was also like the cake guy. He's like, you know what? I can stay in business two ways here. If I tell people it's tradition to freeze their cake, but also sell them the cake to be frozen.
It's like that guy that came up with the whole Santa Claus, you know, what was that in the, was it the 30s or something like that? That the idea that the modern Santa Claus
mm-hmm.
was a creation of, it was a marketing deal. And it was a... I don't want to say it was Meyer and Frank, but it was one of those, it was an older...
Sears?
Maybe. But somebody came up with it as just basically like Santa Claus coming down the chimney and bringing you gifts.
Oh, shut up.
That whole concept.
To keep like the chimney industry alive?
To keep the toy industry alive.
To keep the toy industry alive. Yes. Oh, I thought they were trying to corner the chimney market.
Although
I'm sure there was a chimney maker out there that just was like, that's going to work for me.
I mean, hey, listen, until a few years ago, my grandmother had her chimney, like, in her house, like, open. And they've had that house. She's had that house since, like, the 70s, and I think it was built in the 50s or something like that.
Was that for Santa Claus, or was that for the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins to come down?
Probably both. Probably both. I don't know. In later years, it served its purpose for squirrels, but other than that, oh man, that makes sense. Everything's a ploy. Everything's a ploy to sell something.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything's a ploy to sell something. Everything is fictitious to sell something. I don't know why Easter is about eggs. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, but you gotta have the most of them.
Yeah. Yo. We took Olivia to an Easter egg hunt and she ended up with so much candy and she ended up finding like money eggs that, you know, eggs that have like a dollar whatever in them. Mm-hmm. Dude, she got away with like $8 or $10. And of course, then like, you know, she gets an Easter egg basket from my mom and there's money in that. She gets an Easter egg basket from my grandma. There's money in that. Like, she's building a pretty good savings account in the closet here, just out of dollar bills and quarters, dude. And it's so funny because she doesn't even, I don't even think that she remembers most of that stuff exists until she wants to go to the store and buy something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you got to use your money. And she just goes, that's okay. I'm like, yeah. Sucks to use your own money, doesn't it?
You're like, you know what?
Nah. Everything's better when it's your money.
Oh, duh, dude. Absolutely. All right, we're gonna talk toys and presents. Jono, best toy/present
you ever received from dear old Kris Kringle?
Okay. This is going to show how old I am.
Here we go. I knew you were going to preface it with that, yeah.
Okay. So, Little Green Army Men, you're familiar.
Oh, yes.
Okay. They made this thing called the Guns of Navarone. It was a movie about a fort that had some big cannons on it. It was guarding the Mediterranean. Big deal. All real. But they made a toy out of this.
Yeah.
And so you had this giant plastic mountain. It was probably about 3 feet tall, which was about like 2 inches shorter than me at the time. And it was just massive. And you opened it up, and there was room for the plastic tanks and the plastic stuff and the plastic guys.
Cool.
And so
like in the mountain?
Yes, inside the mountain.
Awesome.
And so you had the whole cave structure. You had a couple of big cannons in there. And it was, at that time, I was already kind of a history geek.
Yeah.
And so I'm over there trying to go like, well, I mean, the general, you know, because it was a German mountain, right? So I'm already like playing both sides here, and I'm going like, well, the Americans are all on the outside trying to get in. What are the Germans doing inside? I think they would have had a movie theater. You know, they would have been, yeah, they were feeling pretty good about themselves. I'm feeling like they would have had rugs and tapestries on the walls and stuff like that. All my friends are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm being realistic. Shut up.
I'm being true to the specs of this toy, okay?
Don't worry. They're not going to win. Gonna let them have tapestries.
Yeah, we already know how this is going to go for these guys.
Yeah, we got it. You're with the green guys, and they're going to win. It's cool.
That's so funny. You said you were going to date yourself on age here. What year are we talking this toy was given to you?
Oh, that's got to be 1979.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Rex, what are you following up with? Best toy or gift you've ever received? I guess we're talking toys. Best toy. Best toy is like a present.
Honestly, there was a point where I got like all of my wrestling guys, all of my wrestling characters stuff had like the little metal little like decoder things that you would scan them with and stuff like that. You don't remember that stuff, of course.
No.
I'm just going over. but I had like the entire like setup that would like if I put a character on a certain spot, like music would play and things like that.
I
remember this.
It was an entire, I could put on my own entire shows basically.
Gotcha.
I was
okay.
Doing that as a kid.
Yeah, I think that I had only ever gotten like wrestling rings. I never got like the entrance stuff like that to do that, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
it was probably my favorite part.
that's so cool.
Brian skipped the toys altogether. He just went directly to a real ring.
Yeah.
So 9-year-old Brian getting beat up by
that's right.
local guys.
Fun fact: when I did live in Klamath Falls, I had a friend who built a wrestling ring. I'm using air quotes so loosely, and it was metal posts in the ground and some garden hose and
yikes.
Oh dude,
dear god.
And like dear god was right. Hey man, it was the early 2000s in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Like rules and regulations and like OSHA did not exist down there, dude. I think, oh man, I guess I would say, because I wouldn't include, I would exclude like video game systems from this conversation, which would be a tie. But I feel like the best, like the coolest present that I was like the most stoked on was the Yu-Gi-Oh! Like dual disc arm.
Like, oh, yeah.
Dude.
Badass.
I felt like I was king of the world with that thing, dude. King of the world with that thing. And I begged my mom forever to buy that thing.
Now, this is a card game.
Yes.
that you had an action accessory for.
Oh, that was okay. So I was in. I was in the fifth grade when this came out, and like this thing was the size of your arm. Like it was this giant. It was from the TV show that went along with this card game.
Yeah, it was like their answer to that. Oh gosh, Dan. It's like their answer to the whole Matrix type thing.
Yes. Yeah, it was like this was the closest that you could become like into the TV show, like blurring the lines of reality. And it held your Yu-Gi-Oh, because the idea was that in the TV show, Yugi would have these dual discs, and it was on their arm, and it would have their cards in them, and you could like play your cards and do all this stuff just like you would on the table, but it was on your arm.
Did the card fly out and kill your opponent?
No, but God, I wish it did. I wish that it did.
Ran the risk of.
Yeah, and oh my God, like even though it was plastic, it was so heavy. Like, dude, toys used to be like so indestructible back then. And now I feel like if you breathe on toys too hard now, they just like disintegrate.
Don't even try.
Oh no. Also, when was the last time you guys put together a Lego set? Because Jesus Christ. It is like so. Legos are so dainty. Yeah. Legos are so dainty. And you never think about that. And they're just like, they're so fragile now.
I'll pass on that one.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Toys are just so funny. And like, is there any toy commercials anymore? Like, remember how awesome toy commercials were?
Yes.
When was the last time you saw a cool toy commercial? For like something that just is just coming out right now.
When was the last time we've seen a cool toy commercial?
Yeah. Very cool. Very true.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
While you take that time to think about when the last time you saw a cool toy was, and we'll get back to you with myself, Brian Brooks,
yeah,
and producer Jono. Guys, this is Rex's World. We will be right back. KXRW.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit columbian.com. That's columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Welcome to Rex's World. This is Rex's World. I am Rex. This is my world. We are here with Brian Brooks.
Yo.
Brian, we got a great guest in the house. We got our buddy here. How would you prefer us to introduce you here?
You just say my name. That's fine. Do you
even know this guy?
How like, should I give him? What is your my social, dude? Yeah.
Hey, you guy there in the corner. What's your name?
James kid? Hartenfeld's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. James Hartenfeld.
Yeah.
You've been all over the place, but you're here today.
Yeah. No, for sure.
We love to have you.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice to have another person here to riff with. I love that. I don't know much about the comedy world, the whatever, however you know Rex here world. So give us a little bit of backstory on you.
Yeah.
Give everybody a little backstory, not just for my own knowledge, so that way I know what to talk about.
I've known Caleb through the comedy world, obviously. Okay. I've been doing comedy for like probably 12 years now.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
But I also know Caleb because I went to a wrestling training one time. And Caleb was there. And
wait, where was this? Was this with us?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think it was.
It was at the old North Portland Eagles Lodge. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Caleb was there, and Caleb was probably starting maybe or had been doing it for a little while.
Something like that. Yeah.
Was I there?
It's possible.
I don't know. I don't remember you.
Well, I didn't always have face tattoos.
Okay.
And I was also a little bit skinnier.
Okay.
Not by much, but just enough to notice.
Yeah, I love wrestling, and I think that like that still comes out in some stuff that I'll do and stuff like that. But like, and then I think that's like when I kind of met you that day for like introduced myself for the first time probably. And then you were working at Helium after that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that was before you were working there, but I started to become more aware of you. You were entering my life more.
Oh, okay.
And then being more close friends over the last couple years now.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. What did you think of your one day wrestling training?
Dude, I remember this dude. I think his name's also Brian. Can I drop names?
Yeah, you can.
All right. I think his name's also Brian. And he's got jacked teeth.
Oh, not me.
Okay. And honestly, I'd seen him. I love blue collar wrestling. I've seen him.
He's talking about Armstrong. He's talking about that Brian.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Probably. Continue.
But either way, okay. Like we were just I think most of that day was just like some general conditioning stuff. Like this is what it's like being in a ring, stuff like that. I was like, man, this rocks. Like this is cool. And then I remember he was like, you got to be ready to take a chop though. And I was like,
dude.
It's like, man, I've been in it for 45 minutes, dude. Not even an hour. Like, then he just starts chopping my chest in a corner, and I'm like,
oh yeah, dude. Yo, he was.
It hurts.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Which is fair.
Dude, he was ribbing you so hard because like
for sure.
that is not day one stuff at all, dude. He was just like, you know what would be funny?
Yeah. I've been just like submitting in the corner of this ring. Like with a near empty Eagles Lodge. Yeah. Just with leaving with like red under my dry fit.
Yeah.
Just a red bare chest. Yeah. But it was awesome.
My favorite thing was that we would see people who would come to the show the night before, and they would be like, do you guys do wrestling training? And we'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. Then they would, and then we'd be like, well, you can, you know, like,
you got to go talk to this. You got to go talk to this person to like see if we can have like an open tryout or whatever. If you can come the next night,
yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, like these people would be like half hammered, be like, I want to try it or whatever. Right. We did this drill one time where the person had to lay down and it was like a pin, like you had to get out of the pin, and you had to like get out from under the person.
Yeah.
And he made everybody do it, and we were just all blown up trying to get out from under each other, and totally. Like all this, you know, like all fun and games.
Yeah.
And we had this new guy who was one of those guys, and I remember he goes, no, Brooks, you're gonna go last, and I was like, okay, I'll go last, sure. And I watched this guy try to get out from like all these people, like small people, like under from wrecks, like all this stuff, or whatever. And he goes, all right, go. And I was like, all right. And I go, and I'm like on my forearms, and I'm on just my tippy toes, like belly to just like barely touching.
Yeah.
And this guy cannot move like me at all in any position. And he is like, dude, you would have thought he was like trying to escape like a collapsing cave.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just remember him like just fighting for his life. And then the trainer's being like, all right, get out. And he gets out, and he immediately runs. And you can see him go from, like, all the way, like, across the hall in the bathroom. Just hear him just, like, puking his guts out, dude. Never saw that guy again after that. And that was pretty much what would happen is we would get these guys and girls who were like,
yeah,
it looks so fun.
Yeah.
And they would just get put through the ringer. And we would never see him in training again.
It's immediately hard. Like, just the ropes, it's a very unnatural movement. Uh-huh. Like, to make that look fluid is insane.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people grasp that. And I realize that, like, just talking about training and classes, it's always, like, that. There's so much stuff there. And it's always great to hear pro wrestlers talk about their experiences in their early training days and what it was like meeting guys and stuff like that. But there's just like the stories just from that Eagles Lodge. There's probably so many insane things you've seen there, and like from that, and also doing shows there probably too.
Yeah, dude.
So to have access to that canvas, so to speak, to like just paint on with your buddy. I imagine you guys setting up the ring together too, taking it down together.
Oh,
like,
God.
Like, just doing that.
Tearing down like, a ring with two people, with one other person, is one of the most time-consuming and, like, annoying.
It was
annoying.
An old ring.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're just heavy.
Old yeah.
They're heavy. And I've wrestled, and we've since wrestled in rings that were older than that one.
Wow.
That were bigger and heavier and stiffer.
That's crazy.
Like, we wrestled in this ring a couple of times up in Kelso. That was a mid-70s boxing ring.
Crazy.
Yeah. So it was really tall and it was stiff.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I ever got booked at that promotion, and I went to, like, go help put the ring up. I was like, wow, this thing's kind of crazy. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's an old converted boxing ring. I'm like, you guys didn't convert anything about this.
The ropes are hemp.
Yeah.
It's like,
dude, and it was the stiffest wrestling ring I've ever been in my entire life. And I was like, there's no way you are flipping me, dropping me, like anything on this ring, dude.
Yeah. This is going to be a real flare match.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, this man.
Going to be a lot of talking. And hitting.
Yeah. A lot of wobbling around, dude.
Yeah.
Like a newborn baby deer, dude.
That's awesome.
Okay. Favorite professional wrestler of all time?
It sounds kind of crazy. I mean, it's easily Ray. The Kevin Nash unmasking story arc was the first time.
Damn.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Whoa, that is, dude.
That made me invest so much in just the storytelling aspect and the creation of a character too. Like that was that put the hooks in.
Yeah.
Like for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so sick. That is, that's so funny because it's such a specific point in wrestling, like with WCW that like nobody ever talks about. Kind of. You know what I mean?
That was huge.
Like when we talked about this last time, like we talked about like our favorite professional wrestlers, and Jono's is Ultimate Warrior.
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 3 was the reason, right? Yes. Rex, what did you say last time? Did you Bret Hart?
I can understand you saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's The Undertaker.
Nice.
And I mean, with like the smallest, most microscopic margin you could think of, to Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But I mean, just everything about The Undertaker was like just so cool and like spooky and like awesome. And especially like when I was watching wrestling at that time, like I was just like kind of like a goofy, like emo, like, I mean, it was like, I wasn't even, not like antisocial, but like, I was just like, I was like kind of one of the weird kids. Like I liked Limp Bizkit and Slipknot, and like I was a skate kid and I lived in a small town in Southern Oregon. Like, of course I liked The Undertaker as, as my favorite professional wrestler, dude.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. No, it makes total sense. And you're getting so much longevity out of that choice too. So it's, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I know my top three is always, it's Ray, it's Randy, and it's actually Goldberg. Goldberg, like, it was like, Ray and Randy kind of did this thing to me that was emotional. It was like, wow, anything's possible. Like, it kind of like hit me with some of those emotions.
And then you saw Goldberg wrestle, you're like, wow, anything is possible.
And like watching Goldberg. Yeah. Like,
they let that guy wrestle? Okay.
Yeah. For some reason, I liked Goldberg more than Stone Cold during that era.
Really?
Which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. What insane take.
Yeah.
What was it about it?
It's just like everything just looked more powerful coming out of him. And Steve was dealing with so many injuries that the performances got way better. He had to do so many more things, I think, to show how great he was. But like Goldberg, it was literally just like, this guy's going to he's gonna spear someone and it's gonna look awesome.
Like, dude.
Not much else is gonna come, but yeah, that's
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it is a hot, very hot take.
That, I mean, hey, I get it, but it's just, it's cool because like I think of things like that when like when people talk about bands and like your hot take on like a band or like an artist or something like that. And it's like, it's not because you're trying to be a contrarian. It's just like, you have these like kind of like, you have this foundation of like the hill you're willing to die on for that reason.
Yeah. And
you know, what I mean?
my wrestling takes are like Weezer and Blink 182. like it's probably in that world. Yeah. Selection for sure.
What's your favorite band? Your Modest Mouse.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. I have no follow up for that. You're just like, you guys ever heard Float On? I don't know. Pretty good record. 10 out of 10.
That is the spear. For sure. Absolutely.
You hear Float On and he's just like foaming at the mouth, like ready to just rip somebody in half, dude. Oh, Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard. So funny. That's his entrance music.
Oh,
dude, that's really good. I have said before that if I've ever become a face, that my entrance music would change to Truly, Madly, Deeply.
nice.
My Savage Garden, because I think nothing would be cooler than like a bunch of white trash wrestling fans singing that song as loud as they can.
It'd be spectacular.
It'd be incredible.
Yeah. <It'd> be incredible.
And we will get back to you with that and more on Rex's World here, KXRW 99.9. We will be right back.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man. I'm
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
中 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher. Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. This is my world. We're here with Jono. We're here with Brian.
Yo.
And we have our friend here.
Just say my name.
Yeah, dude. It's like you don't know.
Should we write it down?
Oh, James. It's okay.
Yeah. Good to be here.
Like
James Hartenfeld's in the house, like a, ladies and gentlemen.
Like the Price is Right name tag for you to like introduce him? Jesus Christ, dude.
Jono's making one.
Jono's making one.
Yeah. We slap that bad boy off.
There you go.
Just keep messing James up.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
All right, let me explain something to you. If you don't talk to him directly by his name after this again, I think I'm going to hit you.
Okay.
Straight up.
James.
There you go.
Is part of the conversation here.
Part of the conversation?
This is James's first and last time on the show.
Like I'm calling in.
Yeah.
Like I'm calling into this show.
He's like, oh, no. long time listener, first time caller. I'm James here, guys.
What's your question there, buddy?
How can we help you, James?
I think you need the help today, dude. I don't.
I really do.
James, do you have any shows coming up?
I do. I always have local shows coming up. Tonight I'm judging a roast battle. This weekend's actually on the lighter side, and I'll roll into some. I'm in LA next week,
dude.
For some shows, they're gonna be awesome. I don't think I can. Some of them are with some very big name comics. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say their names because of their managers. But it rhymes with Derek Laundrie.
Yeah,
so okay. I'm really right excited. On. Yeah,
that's a big deal. Insane. That's awesome.
I'm so stoked. I'm a huge fan of his show, and so like I'll get to do a show with like some of his staff, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Like, and so next week we'll it's kind of slow here in Portland, going into next weekend, and then it'll be a lot of fun in LA.
Yeah, I mean, by the time this airs, you'll be probably out on your way to LA.
Yeah.
But dude, that's so sick. That's
thanks. Awesome. Yeah, and then Elysian Theater is kind of a legendary theater there. Yes. I'll do a show there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Ron Lynch from Bob's Burgers, and then Chatterbox out in Covina. There's supposed to be a lot of that show's pretty legendary in LA, very far east. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't go to LA too often. So.
Are you? Do you have any downtime to try to catch anything at? Is that where the Comedy Store is? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Comedy Store's in LA, right?
The Store is in LA.
The Store. Yeah. You guys call it The Store?
Yeah.
The Store.
The Store.
Man, that shows how outside of the circle I am.
I like to go they have a small room there. They call it the Belly Room, and I love going to those shows when I'm in LA, cuz I see a lot of people that like maybe I've done shows with or like up and comers I really like that are probably going to be, you know, bigger names soon. And so this will be right after the Netflix is a joke. That festival, I think, is ending after this weekend. It is a longer festival, but I think it's ending after this weekend. So I don't know who's still going to be around or what's going to be going on, but yeah, I might stop by. I have 3 shows in 3 days, but we'll see. Yeah, if there's time. 3 days.
Yeah,
so.
That's super sick, dude. That's awesome. I love LA. I want to get back to LA again, this time with like, kind of like without an agenda. Like the only time I've gone, I was down there for shows and like trying to like hang out with some friends and stuff like that. And like,
yeah,
also just like kind of sightsee all the stuff in LA. Like that's
great.
I wanted to dude, shout out Pink's.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
dude.
It's a great city. I like going to New York.
Yeah.
It's a lot for me, and I think that LA is just such a superior city when I compare the two. Really enjoy. Okay. I think LA, there's a way better quality of life to be had.
Yeah, I have a good friend who is from LA, who worked in like film and like photography and stuff like that. Who moved from LA to New York. And he's like, yeah, New York was awesome, but I hated it.
Yeah.
It's cool, but like I was making, you know, ungodly amounts of money, but it was all going to my apartment.
Yeah. I kind of think of it as an amusement park that I would like to spend a little time in and then leave.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I like the novelty of walking a lot to a lot of different places.
I've been in New York once, and yeah, that's what I did. We stayed out. I was on tour and we stayed out in Yonkers, and like I took a train in to Grand Central and like, you know, did all the walking stuff or whatever. And that was super fun. And I loved how like accessible, like accessible everything was. It was super sick.
It's crazy.
And LA was like the complete opposite.
Total
like,
opposite.
Just everything's just so goddamn far from each other. Yeah. It's nuts, dude.
Yeah.
It's all really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all super hot.
It's all really hot.
Yeah,
does not really cool down much.
No, but like they're both like super sick in their own right. The Northeast, like kind of that East Coast area, like that's all super cool because when I was on that tour, like we were there for like a week, and we hit like Connecticut, Boston, New York, Philly, Jersey, like we hit all of that stuff like all in like a 5-day. Span.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. That's such a there's so much to see just in each of those as like I haven't spent any time visiting those East Coast spots, and
that was my first time out there, which was super super fun. We were driving to Hamden, Connecticut the first night because that show was like the next day or whatever, and we were driving up from New York. And I saw the sign for Stanford, and I almost put my head through the window trying to take a peek at the WWE office.
Oh, cool.
But I got to see it, which was super sick.
Yeah.
And then when we were driving,
it's gigantic, right?
It's massive.
It's like it looks like a political, like
yeah,
a,
like
a
the old,
building.
Like the old one. The old like, one was the like old one was
government
huge.
Building.
Yeah, the old one was huge, and this one's like just as big.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then like when we were driving like through Boston and stuff. somebody, one of my friends pointed out the like the Bruins like practice facilities like right there. And
awesome.
Saw that and tried to veer the car off of the road and go crash into that to see, get some autographs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolute pure magic.
Went to Fenway
there.
Park while we were there.
Totally.
Incredible. Fenway.
Yeah. Boston's high on my list.
Yeah.
But I love West Coast. I think I love West Coast comedy a little more. It's like a little looser and faster. It's like a different thing. I do love doing some comedy out there, but I really like being out here.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Well, that's sick. That sounds like a super, super fun weekend. A little packed, but it's going to be perfect time to go.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Rex, with your school year coming to the end here soon, what is on Rex's summer schedule?
Summer schedule.
Summer.
That's big.
Summer in Rex Vegas, baby. What's going on?
Summer in Rex Vegas. Viva Rex Vegas.
That's right, dude.
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, I am trying to find my way back to a normal, I guess, is what I'm trying to do. Because I'm trying to get myself back in the ring.
Yep.
Trying to get back into shape, get look a little bit better on camera.
Sure. Aren't we all?
But, no, that's been my main focus.
Nice.
Right now.
Nice.
Trying to get back into it, trying to have some fun.
Yeah.
Been watching a lot of different stuff to inspire me, if you will.
Yeah, good.
What are those things that you watch? I'm just curious.
Yeah, dude, I got so many questions. We're talking about wrestling, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you. We are talking about wrestling.
AI wrestling. Are they doing that? Is that a problem?
Oh, God.
AI wrestling.
I would be worried about it. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't even want to open that can of worms.
I'm just glad it's impacting everyone.
The most offensive thing that AI is doing to professional wrestling is promotions using it to make their flyers.
Oh, disgusting. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst.
For sure.
And I had it happen to me at somewhere where I wrestled, which was unbeknownst to the promotion. They didn't do it.
Yeah.
They made an awesome flyer.
Yeah.
Like with our photos, like with photos of us that were like very, very good. Mm-hmm. And then they sent that to where who was like hosting. And that they like the building host like made, they like AI'd it or whatever.
Let me AI this perfectly fine flyer. Yeah.
It made one of the guys like look like 20 years older who's like younger than me.
Yeah.
It gave me like a triple chin, which was like, I was already like doing, I was already like, the photo of me was one of those like yelling faces, like a mean tough guy.
Yeah.
And it just made me look like, I don't know, 400 pounds more overweight than I already am. Dude, it was offensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like that's been the most egregious thing that AI has done to professional wrestling is promotions just using it to like slop out their flyers and or like using it to like write descriptions of like whatever the next event is that's coming up and then like the information will be wrong.
Right.
I'm just like, well, that guy didn't do that. That guy didn't do that. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I know because I was at that last show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, dude. It's just – so, yeah, that's where it's impacted pro wrestling. A little bit of, you know, people, like, making AI cartoons of themselves. Like,
yeah,
whatever. That's fine. I don't really care.
Sure.
Other than that. But, like, yeah. All right. That's my rant.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah.
How has it infiltrated its way into comedy?
Flyers, for sure.
Sure, okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, as far as like ads go, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We're seeing there's a Carlin AI special that's been released.
Oh,
and,
oh my God.
And when that came out, it was probably like 2 or 3 years ago now. So people were like, huh, that's interesting. You know, it's surprisingly good. Like, that was kind of the reaction. And looking back on it, it was like, oh my God, no, that was a huge problem. Like, we shouldn't have let that happen. It's really bad. It's really bad for art forms that this is, you know, even we're even testing this out. Like, I think AI bad AI music is funny once in a while.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But even like, I think 3 days ago, my girlfriend was like, look at this AI song I wrote. And I was like, nope. Nope, we're not. Yeah.
No, shut it down. My mom sent me a picture from like a website where she had like uploaded a picture of my daughter to like, you know, like some AI thing to like make her a princess on a unicorn. And like it didn't, thank God it like didn't change her like facial like structure or like her hair or anything.
Yeah.
But I was like, I looked at it and then I looked at the top and I was like, da 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 AI. And I just went, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Get my daughter off of that server.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom was like, okay. And I was like, don't ever do that again, ever.
Yeah.
My mom was like, wah. Like typical boomish. Meh, I didn't know it.
She's a princess now.
Yeah. She's a princess. She was always a princess. Duh, dude. You know how many stupid Disney princess costumes I have in this closet?
Yeah.
A lot. A lot.
My brain has gotten so numb from like all of that, from so many like so many sad algorithm things. You know, that have just like flooded my brain over the last probably a year or two. It's gotten so much worse the last year or two that I think it's harder for me to motivate myself. And so like when I think about like, you know, I'm wearing a GPS watch right now, dude. How sad is like this thing? How many miles do you think are like, how many steps are on this bad boy today? Like, yeah, it's not many. And I just can't not enough, that's for sure. There's more ruffles on this GPS
watch. It like makes a little tick every time it hears you crunch.
Yeah, it's getting sea salt.
every time your sodium intake increases, it like gives you like -1 point.
Drinking 2 Celsius a day just to like maintain a level of like consciousness to look at my phone, dude. Like, it's bad. So that's why I am curious, like, what are, and a lot of like motivational videos on YouTube are AI guys that are like, you are a warrior.
dude.
Have you heard those?
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, and those have been around for a while. Like, it's hard for me to like figure out what I need to do to wake up a little bit, because I'm not, my gym life has declined. Granted, I had a hernia, had surgery. That's good. Like, I'm better and stuff. But so I'm like, okay, now that I'm better, how can I motivate myself? And it's not easy, you know.
Dude, it's really not. Like, I had a tough time. I mean, I had a tough time for a while going to the gym. And my biggest, like, demotivationer was just, like, I'm just, like, Olivia's on summer break, so like I gotta do everything with her all the time. Yeah. And most gyms don't have childcare.
Totally.
And for a while I went to one that did, which was really great, but it was nice. It was really far from my house.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'm getting ready to hit summer break again, and the gym that I go to now doesn't have childcare, so I gotta figure out like, you know, babysitting thing and like this and that and whatever, and like, you know, do I take too long? Do I not take too long? Like,
yeah.
All this crazy stuff too. But like, I think just like, dude, the hardest part about going to the gym is just going to the gym.
Yeah,
it's just the act of getting in your car and driving to the gym. Because once you're there, it's easier. Like, while I'm here, I should go work out.
Mm-hmm.
But like, forcing yourself, to like drive to the gym, you're like
making it a habit.
I don't want to do this. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I have a friend who is a competitive bodybuilder,
mm-hmm.
who like designed the workout program that I use.
Yeah.
And the workout program that I use is awesome, but I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is so hard. And I just keep making it harder for myself, because I'm doing the thing where I complete the exercise and then like the next week I go back and I do the same thing and I add more weight. But which is great, but I'm just like, oh God, I want to die.
Yeah.
If I died under this barbell right now, it would not be the worst thing in the entire world.
Yeah. And I'm such a person that needs to feel like, yay, I did it.
Yeah.
Like when I leave the gym, I need to feel like, yeah, awesome. Like so sometimes too hard for me, too hard too soon is like okay, not enough, and then I'll get stuck on like, okay, my consistency is really good, but like I'm on that elliptical machine watching freaking retro video game videos on my phone for 45 minutes, and I'm like, well, I did it, great, and then I'm like, this weird balance is not finding itself, but yeah, sometimes I'll watch something that does motivate me, and it'll be like sports documentaries.
Sure,
I'll watch like Secret Base. I like these little YouTube docs a lot.
Oh, fun. Really okay,
so yeah,
my biggest recent gym motivator was I was at training class last week, and I did a 5-minute practice match, and I just remember laying there and just being like. Like sucking wind because I was wrestling a guy who's way younger and faster than me and in way better cardio shape, and somebody was like, "Why are you dead?" I went, "Cause I'm fat." And like,
I'm well over right now.
And one of the feedback points from one of the additional coaches was like, "If you're gonna be a champion, you got to get your cardio up." And I was like, "All right, dude." You got me there, because I hold a world title right now.
Nice.
That's my current motivation is be a better wrestler.
Yeah.
Lose a little bit of dad weight, you know. Trim down a teeny tiny bit in the next 6 weeks before my wedding.
I've had this thing where like there's a lot of physical comedy. Like a lot of my comedy is pretty physical. And I was doing something at a friend's show, like it was a late show, 10 p.m. And I was like, I'm going to close on this like 13-minute joke. It's really physical. And by the end of it, I was like, I'm not in good enough shape for this right now. And I'm just pretending to bust in my pants, you know, at the end of this joke. That's the end of the joke. And I usually yell pretty loud when I do that. Right. And I was like, I don't have the wind in me. To close this right, and it's funny to think that like, I guess a good motivator is this, you know, this thing.
13-minute joke.
Yeah, yeah, that's a real, yeah, just that performance that you don't think of as being that physical.
Have you ever
click for me sometimes?
Have you ever been like mid in the middle of that, and you're just like, well, I'm committed now, and I've got it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's great. Sometimes when I realize like okay, we're doing the whole thing, it's like okay. I'm doing the whole thing. But that was kind of the first time where I was like, maybe give up.
Yeah.
Like no one's
quit while you're not ahead.
Yeah. No one's given me a belt for this. I could stop. I could stop. Instead, I'm just like, I'm sweating. My mustache is like, it's wet. Like, and I'm just like getting through this. Late hot show.
Oh God! I don't want to end on such like a sourly descriptive note, like a wet mustache.
We would never.
And yet here we are.
I've had a lot of fun today. I've been out of. I don't even know. it's been great to have you guys here because I definitely don't know if I would be able to do this on my own.
Myself and.
And
just say it.
It's right in front of you,
James Hartenfeld.
Is it James? James?
Oh, all right, I gotta go.
Oh God, James Hartenfeld here, ladies and gentlemen. He's been going crazy.
Great. Thanks for having me, you guys.
By the time this airs, he will be in L.A. for a string of shows.
He's in the
L.A. Covina area. Go check him out. Go follow him on social media at
Hartenfeld, my last name, Hartenfeld.
Awesome. That's it. That's a wrap, dudes. See you in the next one.
The world is yours. The world is yours. It's mine. It's mine. Whose world is this? It's yours. I sip the dumb peat, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin, the whole of mic I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth issue that murderers move with. The thief's theme, the play theme. Me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a air pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off.